I don't know of anything that could be more rewarding than seeing people come alive in the Spirit of God. Sometimes when I'm meditating in God and experiencing sometimes even the fullness of God arising in me, there is such a burden, for lack of a better word, there's just such a longing within me that God's people would begin to experience the purpose for their being. You know, I shared yesterday that, or Friday, I guess, that this is a roadmap. And I would find it very difficult to come to the end of the journey without the roadmap. But then on the other hand, I hear Jesus over and over and over again, even rising up within my own consciousness, saying, "Ye search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but you will not come to me." We have had 2,000 years of Bible teaching. And everyone who is a Christian, who would confess Jesus as Savior, who would say they have been regenerated, they would all say that they believe that this is the Word of God. Yet if you look over the past 2,000 years, almost all that we have gained from this is carnal reasonings and religions of man. Amen. After 2,000 years, there's only been a handful throughout each generation who could stand in the reality of what this word says and could boldly declare that God has once again come alive in the power of His Spirit in human vessels. You see, and that's the mystery of this word. Yet men have taken it, even honest men seeking after God, have taken the word and have given to us thousands of religions. We've come up with 300, 400, 500 different denominations just within the Baptist Church. And then about 1900, when Pentecost came along in this country, we thought at last we found the answer. Because we know that we can receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And we know that if we get filled with the Holy Ghost, it will bring oneness to the believer. Well, look what Pentecost has done with the Word. It has brought no oneness among even the Pentecostals who proclaim the Word of the baptism in the Holy Ghost. You cannot depend upon your reasoning and your understanding to know God. It's impossible. Otherwise, we would not have thousands of churches and thousands of divisions, all telling us we believe in the one true God. Yet we can't even fellowship with one another. We call ourselves Baptists and Lutherans and Pentecostals and churches of God. And we say we all have the same Father. We're all seeking after the same God. We all have the same goal. Yet we hate and despise and talk about one another. How can we claim to have God as our Father and hate our brother? One of the works of the flesh is murder, envyings. Of course we wouldn't go out and physically kill someone, but we think nothing of killing them spiritually. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Amen. There is only one Lord. There is only one faith. There is only one baptism. There is only one God and Father of all who wants to fill all with himself. It has absolutely nothing to do with what you believe or what you think this Word of God says. Oh, that God would stir our hearts to fall on our face and to seek only Him. You are not going to find the answer of your heart's cry in this Word unless your heart is seeking only Him. Most people do not have a belief of their own. I can guarantee you, unless you've sought God with all your heart, if you've been raised in a denominational church, if you've been raised in a Baptist church, you will not have your own belief. You will believe what your teachers and your pastors have taught you. That's not good enough. Today, God is calling out a people. Will you hear His call? And when you hear that call, you will come out from among those who call themselves Jews and are not. Those who call themselves apostles and are not. Those who worship in the synagogue of Satan, thinking that they are worshiping God and they are not. And you must come out from among them and seek God until He quickens your heart. And you begin to have a revelation of Christ in you. And He will, by His Spirit, lead you into all truth. You won't need another man to interpret this Scripture for you. I love what I see taking place today. You know, we were singing that song. The beauty of the Lord. And you know, when I think about the beauty of the Lord, what comes to me? I see, for instance, Phil. I see the beauty of the Lord in him that can take a man and totally change him. From a man of flesh to a man of spirit. Isn't that what we all want? You see, the things that Phil would used to do, now he's falling on his face and he's hearing God say to him, Phil, you can't do that anymore. You can't be that way anymore. You can't talk like that anymore. You see, it's not a law that he's getting out of here. It's not what Gary says. It's when he's on his face, he hears within him the voice of God that says, Phil, you can't do that. That, my friend, will change your life. It's not what anybody says and it's not what you read. Because when God speaks to you, with His speaking comes the ability to do that which He is speaking. You just have to hear His voice. But listen, your mind is so clouded with what Gary says and with what Preston says and with what all the teachers say, what your pastors say. Your head is so full of knowledge, you cannot hear the Spirit speak. Amen. When you fall on your face, you don't need to hear Gary, you need to hear God. Amen. And if I can't turn your hearts to God, then I have no business being here. It's not about right and wrong. It's about life. And Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. You can't get life out of this knowledge. Life is a person. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth, grace and reality came through Jesus Christ. And oh, how we've heard, you know, we've heard him say, I am come that you might have life. Yet, for the most part, we have no comprehension of what that life has given to us. Because we're still seeking God as though he were something other than within us. We are still seeking God as though he were out there somewhere. Yet, in reality, the only place that you will ever find God in reality is within your very own being. If God never quickened you by His Spirit, if you never begin to come alive in the power of His Spirit, you will never know God in reality. That's why we seek for Him. That's why we read the Word. That's why we pray and assemble together, that in His Spirit we may be unveiled to the reality of His presence and His life within us. And I'll tell you again, you cannot know God by the written Word. You must know Him in Spirit. And this written Word can become Spirit and life to you. But if it doesn't, all you'll have is carnal reasonings and understandings. You can read the Word and start another denomination. Every denomination has been birthed out of the carnal reasonings and understandings of this Word. And every seed produces after its own kind. Amen. The Baptist seed, the Lutheran seed, the Pentecostal seed, the Catholic seed, it will all reproduce after its own kind. Amen. Until you sense the call of the Spirit upon your life. And you can cry out, oh God, then the seed of God is generated within you. And that seed, my friends, will produce after its own kind. Yes, it will. The seed of God reproduces within you the very life and character and nature of what He is. Yes. Yes. And you see, we've all experienced that if you've been regenerated. But we fall into the traps of religion. One of the very first things I did when I met God in reality is I went back to that which I knew, only knew as God. I went back to the church I was raised in. And it took me years of searching through this church and that church and this denomination and that denomination to come to the place where I realized that I don't need all of that. I need God. I can't learn God. I can't figure Him out. He must fill me with Himself. Yes. And that's what Tabernacles is all about. It's about God filling His temple with His essence. It's about God revealing to you the love of God within you. Until you can absolutely have an undying, endless love for all of His creation. Because you see, God is love. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of love. Love has only one motive, and that is that it would take you and me, and at whatever cost, and whatever price would take you and me and conform us into the image of His Son. Because, see, that's who we are. You will not become a son of God. You are a son of God. And many of us have become disappointed and disillusioned and depressed in our Christian life because we haven't been able to conform to what we know a son of God is. But listen, we are being birthed by His Spirit. We are being formed and fashioned just like a babe in a womb. God is forming Himself within us. It has nothing to do with our natural character and our natural disposition and our unyielding will and our hard-headed stubbornness. It has everything to do with His child being birthed in humanity. And that's why you have to feed the baby. If you don't know why I said that, you have to listen to Friday night's message. But it's about feeding the baby. God is coming alive in a people today. But there's a great price. At least it seemingly is a great price to our natural man. But it's giving up everything. It's turning away from everything that you think you know and fall on your face to seek after God in His reality. Come out of your religious ideas and your stinking thinking and see if God will not reveal to you the essence of His being within you. We've had such a horrible, horrible concept of God taught to us by our forefathers. And yet we say this is what we believe. It isn't what we believe. It's not what we believe. It's what we've been taught as the truth. And we accept another man's belief as the truth. We think this word is infallible. Listen, if this word is infallible and we interpret it by the Spirit, how can we have the mess that we have out here? Right. You take 100 men to read this Bible and interpret it, you have 100 denominations. Until the Spirit of God is quickened on the inside of them and they realize that there is only one Lord, there is only one faith, there is only one baptism, there is only one church, and I am a part of that church. And to call yourself by any other name, listen to what it says in Revelation. The mystery Babylon, the great harlot who is full of names of blasphemy. Names that are divisive. Names of separation. Come out from among that and realize that God is one Lord. God is causing His Spirit to arise in a people who realize their oneness. I don't care what name is over your door. I don't care what you've been taught to believe. If the Spirit of God has been quickened in you, you are my brother and you are my sister. And it doesn't matter what you believe intellectually, because we all believe wrong. Believe me, we do. It's not about what you believe intellectually. It's about birthing the child within you. And just as Mary had an immaculate conception by the word of the angel, so today there is being birthed within humanity a man-child who shall rule all nations with a rod of iron. You can't produce that with your natural mind. You cannot look at yourself as a mere mortal human being and think that you are a God on this earth. But if the Spirit of the living God begins to arise in you, if His Spirit begins to fill this temple with Himself, then you, my friends, once again, the Immaculate Conception has taken place. has nothing to do with the natural understanding and the reasoning and the will. All of these things are but religious philosophy. Amen. Men telling you that your will is stronger than God's will. Listen, if my will was stronger than God's will, I would never have advanced in God's kingdom. God proved to me time and time again, you choose the way you want to go. You set your will against my will, and you watch the fiery hell that I raise in your life. You be a Jonah and tell me, no, I won't go to Nineveh, and see if I don't cause you to be swallowed up by a whale. Don't tell me your will is stronger than God's. Don't tell me that God will let you go to an eternal, everlasting punishment from before His presence. Oh, He'll burn you up all right. But He's going to burn up your religion. He's going to burn up your carnal thinking. He's going to burn up all the religiosity until there's nothing left but His Spirit within you. There's judgment coming to the house of God today. This house is being judged. And I realize that without Him, we are nothing. Though I can quote chapters and verses and even books of the Bible, without the very essence of His presence arising within me, I am nothing but sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Oh, my friends, come out of religion. Come out of that carnal reasoning. And know that God is calling you into sonship. And you can't figure it out. You can't learn it. And you can't even be taught it. The only thing we can do is stir up the hearts. God told me many years ago, He set me to turn the hearts of the children unto their Father. And if I can turn your heart to your Father, and you can understand the all-encompassing love of a father towards his child, you will never again fear God in the sense of Him tormenting you and judging you out of an angry, vengeful spirit. But He is your Father, and as your Father, you are His idea. You did not bring yourself into being. God created you by His Spirit. And as Jesus is the author of your faith, He is also the finisher. If you have revealed to you the heart of a father, oh my God, how could a father burn his child in an endless, agonizing torment? Amen. We have made God a monster. Right. As bad as your child could be, could you take a match and hold under their chin and let it burn forever? No. Don't talk to me about what your Bible says. You know, Jesus had to deal with that too. He said, I know what your word says. Your word says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Your word, your Old Testament law says you take the adulteress and you stone her and you kill her. I know what your word says. I know what your New Testament says. But I say unto you, you love your enemies. You do good to them who despitefully use you. I know you think that your Bible says that God will throw you in an endless torment, but I say unto you, you don't even know God. Amen. In reality. You know what you've been taught. You're full of your religious tradition. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but you have not come unto me. You have not spent the time in my presence to allow me to unveil and reveal to you the presence of God within you. You go ahead and spend your lifetime dissecting this word. And you will be no more Christ-like when you die than when you began.
Right.
You must come to Him. If there's even a chance that you think that you've been wrong, come to Him. Oh, He says, come to Me. For if any man thirst, I will give him a water and he will never thirst again. Do you know, for years I thirsted after God. I hungered after God. And I could never be filled. But as God is my witness, I can say to you today that I never hunger and I never thirst because I am always filled.
Right.
The well that springs up in within you is an endless, exhaustless supply of His life and His nature and His essence. Oh my, what religion has cost us. It's robbed us of the life of God. Because we think we have to be good, and we have to do this, and we have to do that. And if we're bad, and if we don't make the right choices, and if we don't do what we should do, then God is going to cast us away forever. But you see, when you understand the love of God, you know that He has one goal in mind, and that is you're His child. As I said, you were His idea. He created you, and listen to me, He is responsible for you. Are you not responsible for the children that you create? Is God, as our Father, not much more responsible for us? And because He is a responsible parent, He will not let you exercise a will that would cause you eternal torment.
Right.
What kind of a father would do that? And that's not what this word says. It's what the translators have said to us to keep us in fear and in bondage to religious tradition. You can show me 1,000 Bibles and 1,000 translations that says God will throw you in an eternal hell and burn you forever. And I know my Father.
Amen.
I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to deliver me and to present me holy, blameless, and undefiled before Him. Not based upon my performance and my will, but based upon His faithfulness. Because He has promised. And what He has promised, He is able to fulfill. Does not depend upon me. As long as you feel that God's favor depends upon your performance, you will never know the grace and the love of God. Not in reality. God loves us with an undying love. And if only we could, you know, see by the pattern of this tabernacle. I mean, God has showed us in so many ways His love. And as I was sharing this morning, earlier, Jesus is the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. Yet religion will tell you that's not true. Look at you, you're still sinning. You're still sinning because you're still living in that old unrenewed carnal state.
Right.
If you understand the truth and you realize that Jesus took away your sin, that as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed the transgressions of my people. God was in Christ not holding men accountable for their sin. He does not impute to them sin. He imputes to them righteousness.
Right.
You see, I don't have to try to be righteous. God has imputed to me by Calvary and through the cross. He has imputed to me His righteousness. But you see, it's not an imputed righteousness to the natural carnal man. We don't understand these things with the natural man. The carnal mind cannot understand the mysteries of God. He did not come to redeem the fallen, the old dead man. The old man was crucified at the cross. And he brought into being the new creation man. That's who you are, folks. Like I shared last night, you have that life in you. It's incapable of that life to sin. As long as we keep, you know, reasoning with our natural mind and listening to all the religious things and the... You must take the time and go to God as a little child. There was a time when I had to do this. And I said, God, take... If it's possible, take everything away from me that I can learn your presence within me. Because there was a time when I thought I knew just about everything, but I didn't know him in reality. He did not walk and talk in me. Yet I knew almost everything scripturally, I thought. The fruit of the Spirit. That's the only way that you can rightfully discern whether or not someone is walking the walk or if they're just talking the talk. God is filling us with His life and nature, and that nature loves regardless. You see, the God knows, and His presence within you will open your eyes and bring you into the same awareness that He has. He understands your darkness. He understands why you act the way you do, because you are in darkness. And He doesn't condemn you for that. He came to save that which was lost. Not condemn it. Yet religions and pastors all across America and the world will stand in their pulpits and tell people they're miserable sinners and they're bound for an endless hell. But the gospel message says, I have by the power of my Spirit, I have by placing myself on the cross, and I have by shedding my blood, I have redeemed the world. The only gospel we were ever taught to preach is the gospel of reconciliation. God is not holding you accountable for your sin. God has redeemed you. God has purchased you. God has bought you back from the hand of the enemy, and you are mine. You belong to me. And as you share the gospel and get people to realize that they don't need to fear God, the price has been paid for their disobedience. They just need to get to know their Father. Introduce them to love. Cultivate the love of God in creation and the love for God. People today, I've probably said this thousands of times, but it's so true. People today are not rejecting God in America. They say, oh, America has rejected God. America is being, God is judging America because they've rejected God. And I say, oh my God, no, they have not rejected God. They have rejected the false God that Christianity has perpetrated upon them.
Amen.
What if you were looking for God in reality? Where would you go today? The Baptist Church? The Pentecostal Church? The Catholic Church? The Mormon Church? The Jehovah Witness Church? Why would you want to accept a God who is so divisive? Why would you want to accept a God whose very own children do not love one another, cannot worship together, and talk about one another?
Amen.
They haven't rejected God. They've rejected the concept of Christianity.
That's right.
And God today is taking flaming vengeance and purifying the altar.
Amen.
Yes, Christianity is being judged. And the people are being set free. It thrills me to see people come out from that religious, stinking, dead harlot that calls herself the Bride of Christ. Not a very popular message, I know. I'll tell you, as long as you remain in that harlot system, you cannot know God. You have to come out. But you can find God right where you're at. I'll tell you what, you find God in reality. If the Spirit of the living God begins to arise in you, and you begin to have a clear concept and an understanding of the love of God, you won't have to come out of that place. They will throw you out.
Amen. Thank God.
So it's like we've been sharing, you know, this is a journey from spirit to flesh. You're not perfected in your flesh when you're born again. You're not, you know, it's like we were taught in religion that, well, once you're saved, you can come to Jesus just as you are. How he loves you just as you are. But once they get you, and once you say, Jesus, I receive you, then they expect you to walk like a man and not falter and not have any habits and not sin and not... You know, it becomes totally a message in the beginning, a message of grace, but it turns into a message of performance. Now that you're saved, you can't do this. You know, it's like taking a little baby that is just born in a crib and saying, well, now that you're born, you have to get up and go to work. Isn't that what you were told when you were first born again?
Absolutely.
You have to get out and witness.
Absolutely.
You know, if you don't confess me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. So we want these babies that are just spiritually born, and we want them, expect them to act like a holy person. And so we teach them and put restrictions on them and tell them what they can and cannot do instead of feeding the baby. If you feed a baby and nourish a baby, he will grow up and he will act like a man.
Amen.
Spiritual babies are no different. It takes years to cultivate a newborn person and minister life to them and feed them and then watch the baby in them grow. And they put down the childish things.
Amen.
You see, we have to get this understanding that when you're born again, there's another person born on the inside of you. And that person does not agree with the person that you think you are in your carnal mind. There is a great conflict develops when you are regenerated. No conflict, no regeneration. That's when the war begins, the flesh against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. You should not feel bad if you're in a conflict. You should thank God that it means I've been regenerated. I shouldn't feel bad because areas in my life are stronger than the baby in my spirit. So I have to feed the baby. I have to nourish the baby. I have to minister to the baby until he grows and overtakes the works of the flesh. Because if I have a strong natural will and I quit smoking, quit drinking, quit going with women, quit doing, I'm a much better person, but that's not what God is after. Because when that happens, you become a self-righteous person. God is not after Pharisees. He's after sons. God wants the baby to grow. And he, more than anyone else, understands that when you're born again, you are just like a brand new, weak, immature new birth has taken place within you. You must be given time to grow in the knowledge and in the faith of God. You see, what we do, we take the seed of God on the inside of people, just like you take a seed of corn. We take a seed of corn and we could put it on that chair. Or we could even plant it in the ground. And then we get out all of our textbooks and we start teaching that seed how to grow. We've had 2,000 years in Christianity of teachers trying to teach this seed how to grow. You don't have to teach a seed how to grow. You plant it in the proper soil. You water it. The sun shines on it and produces the heat and the pressure that breaks the shell of the outer man so that the life can spring forth. Don't teach me how to be a Christian. Don't tell me what I can and can't do. Feed me. Amen. Nourish me. Love me in the power of the Spirit until that baby begins to grow. And that life in you knows nothing but a life that lives in obedience to their Father. That life does not know how to say no to God. That life simply is what it is. It's God once again being birthed and manifesting in humanity. You let that life grow up in you and you'll have no problems overtaking the flesh. But if that life has not grown in you, you cannot expect to overcome by trying. It doesn't work. Religion will tell you you have to. And all the time, you know you can't. But God will say to you, look, I look way beyond where you are today. You know, I can look at your sin. I can look at your homosexuality. But you know what? I choose not to look at that because I choose to look at the blood. You see, when I look at you, I don't look at your faults. All I see is the blood all over you. I see the redemptive work of my Son. So I look way past where you are today, and I look deep down on the inside of your being, and I see the seed of my life that I have placed there. And I'm going to minister to you. I'm going to water you. I'm going to love you and keep working in you until one day that life within you grows. And then you will know what it is to be an overcomer. Because He is the overcomer. If God doesn't grow within you, folks, you don't have the chance of a snowball in hell, so to speak. Salvation is God in you to deliver you. You see, and that's the message of the tabernacles. That God comes to you through the blood of His Son. And then through Pentecost, He begins to awaken you to His life within you. And then finally in tabernacles, the life in you grows up and swallows everything of death. Amen. The life in you grows and swallows up every habit, every lust, every foul and unclean thing. And there's nothing left but the Spirit of the living God in this temple. And then you begin the ministry of reconciliation, not a ministry of condemnation. And everywhere you go, you will be able to dispense the Spirit of the living God into others. Now that's worth taking some time for. It's worth sitting in the quiet and contemplating and meditating on God. It's worth whatever price that you think you might have to pay. It's worth it to have God come alive within you. In the holiest of all, there was nothing but God. And that's the journey that we are on. From our spirit, we are on a journey to transform our mind into the mind of Christ. Remember what Paul said? Think it not robbery to be equal with God. God is reproducing himself in humanity. That's the message of the gospel. It has nothing to do with the humanity, being good, being kind, being considerate. All of those things are wonderful, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you being manifested to a lost and a dying world. Christ in you to overtake all the works of the flesh. That is the kernel of the gospel. And you know, if that's what we taught, we wouldn't have Bible colleges. We wouldn't have 1,000 different doctrines we had to learn. I mean, this is a simple message. It's just God loves you. God has redeemed you. God, by the power of His Spirit, will regenerate you. And then you will be fed and nourished until you grow up. And He is once again manifested in the world. That's the kernel of the gospel. That's all you need to know. God, once again, He doesn't have just one Son of God manifesting on the earth today. He has many brethren that He is bringing into glory. And you don't have to wait until you feel like you're fully mature to begin to manifest God. From the very moment of your regeneration, if you will seek God, even as a baby, you can manifest the presence of God. You may not know so much. You may be all wrong doctrinally. I'll never forget one time I was told that there was a lady in Boston, Massachusetts, who could command the presence of God. And she had a lot of religiosity in her mind. But when we walked into her house, there was me, my mother, my brother, and my sister. We walked into her house, and I said to her, "Sister, I've heard that you can command the presence of God." "Oh, yes," she says, "anytime." And I said, would you demonstrate what you mean? And she began to, just in a simple way, she began to talk to God. And all of us, immediately at the same time, we began to weep and we sensed the presence of God. It's not a matter of what you know. It really isn't. People who are really screwed up doctrinally can have this kind of presence in their life. Because it's not a matter of knowing. It's a matter of being. It's a matter of seeking after God and His truth. "Oh, Lord, send forth Thy light and Thy truth. Let them lead me and bring me into Your holy hill. Bring me into Your presence." It's not about knowledge. It's about life. A new life. An uncreated, indestructible life that's birthed in you. Let's seek for that life. Amen.
This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, IGLER, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music. On this earth, you'll walk with me.
true identity. I'm